This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Joel Warwick. Joel, how are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
Good. Joel, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Well, I've been consulting in this field for about almost 10 years now. Primarily, I've done most of my work with end-use firms that are implementing DAM in one way or another. But I've also done some work for the technology vendors, both in DAM and in the kind of auxiliary space, helping them with their strategy, and especially as the proliferation of SaaS-based services have come out there, DAM vendors have had a challenge figuring out how to, you know, meet the needs of hosted type implementations while still serving firms that are looking for the on-site enterprise implementation.
How long does it take to implement digital asset management within an organization?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. Depends how you look at what, you know, implementation means. So if we're just talking about implementing the software, some organizations, it can happen in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I would argue that that's not what I typically, when I talk about implementation, the goal that I propose with my clients is, when are you going to actually be able to take advantage of new and improved business processes? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, you know, why do we implement enterprise systems in the first place? Well, it's not because of some feature or function that they have. It's because we want to change our business processes in some way that benefits us, whether that's cost savings or, you know, lighting up a new revenue channel, what have you. And in order to change those business processes, there are a lot of other pieces other than just implementing software. And, you know, most of my work has been helping clients through that. And it takes a lot longer than just, you know, implementing the software and training users on it, because there are a lot of pieces that really have very little to do with the software. And these are, you know, issues of what I call operational design, which is kind of a big catch-all that covers everything from organizational alignment to detailed workflow planning. And, you know, it really depends on the size and the complexity of the organization. But I would argue that, you know, you're looking at a minimum a few months to really get up and running, where, you know, you say, we used to do it this way, and now we do it this other way, you know, with the benefit of this new technology. But the technology itself doesn't make that change happen. And that's a misconception that I think a lot of people fall into. And I can even, you know, even after doing this for a long time, I still tend to fall into that too, because it's so attractive to think, well, we get this thing installed, and then we're going to be able to do this new way, and it's going to be great. But unfortunately, that change has to be sort of programmatically implemented. And there's a lot of upfront work that has to happen before the software actually gets implemented. So in some organizations, honestly, it takes years. Now, it's not to say that they don't get benefit earlier on than, you know, after, you know, they might get benefit after 3 months or 6 months. But the real change that they're looking for, and the ROI that they're looking for when they decide to implement DAM, may be a couple years out.
Why does it take this long to get it working within an organization? What's involved?
So when I talk about operational design, and I've presented about this quite a bit, as you know, and written some articles about this as well, but I'll throw out some components that are what people don't, you know, especially like an IT group, wouldn't typically think of as part of an enterprise system implementation. So things like standards, workflow design, digital rights models, organizational alignment, all the capture and migration that has to go on, you know, capturing assets and migrating them from existing systems, and, you know, also just the appropriate scoping. And that can be a real challenge in figuring out, well, what content are we going to put in this thing, and what users and what workflows are going to be included. People oftentimes don't have that much patience, especially executive sponsors. So you want to show value right up front. So you want to try to figure out, what content do we get in this thing now, and what workflows do we light up, you know, using a DAM system that are going to show some benefit, but at the same time, isn't everything under the sun? Because that's how most organizations look at this. They go, we're going to throw everything in here, and we're going to use it for everything. Well, unfortunately, you can't do that all at once. I mean, just the disruption that it would cause makes business kind of impossible. So staging it appropriately by getting the right user and asset scope, that's an exercise in and of itself. You know, in terms of where a lot of the time is, I would actually say that the organizational alignment piece is the trickiest piece. And that can be for a number of reasons. I mean, it could be because you have an organization that's very fragmented, and you have groups that have been fairly autonomous up until this point. And the model is, well, we're all going to start sharing stuff. We'll be able to reuse content. And if those groups aren't already oriented towards that type of work, there's going to be a challenge redesigning those business processes. Sometimes it's not political at all. It's just that the groups don't know that much about each other, mm-hmm. you know, or they've been sharing very little content, and there's an expectation that that's going to change overnight. And we know how organizations are. I mean, it doesn't matter what the change is. That type of fundamental operational change isn't going to happen overnight. But the most important piece is actually having people working on that specific problem, going in and understanding the workflows of both groups, looking at where they interact, designing those interaction points, and in particular, the standards and the policies and the practices that have to change. Just to give you a very specific example, you know, a lot of times, let's say that there's like a print group, some kind of print publications, whether it's marketing or publishing, and there's the web group, and they say, well, why doesn't the web group have access to all the images that the print group has? Mm-hmm. Might as well. And, you know, we'll figure out the rights issues and whatnot. But the thing is that the web group hasn't, that's not how they've been acquiring their content. So suddenly they're being told, well, you have to go look at the print group's images first before you go off and buy your other images. What's the policy going to be? And this is where you could get into a political issue. And even if it's not political, you still could just get into an issue of this isn't the right content for us. Mm-hmm. And so someone actually has to do an assessment of whether that policy is going to work. And then once you've established it, there's the actual enforcement of the policy. Is this going to be a really hard rule where they really can't go off and buy new images as they have been? Or is it going to be more flexible as they figure out how to do it? So that's just, you know, one specific example. But, you know, you can imagine in a lot of organizations that that's not a minor issue. And it, because it can get sort of political, it involves people in those organizations at more senior levels than just what you would look at normally for an implementation. So the head of the business unit, the print business unit, for instance, probably has to talk to the head of the web operations or the online unit to figure out where that balance is going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that involving the right people up front and getting that organizational support is really, really important, because when you're way down the road in a project, you're trying to figure out the metadata model so you can get this system turned on in 2 months, that's not the time to run into that snag and say, uh-oh, we have to involve all these more senior people. Mm-hmm. Because you know what happens then? It kind of goes into a bucket of conflict resolution. The solution that comes out of it may not be the best one for the system or for the operations. It may just be that someone's trying to put out this fire, so to speak. So getting them engaged up front is really important.
And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
I think the challenges right now is that the space is so fragmented and complex. Even the nature, when people say digital media, that's kind of all over the map right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the real trick, is to kind of understand the space, who the players are, both in terms of the technology, but also firms that can help organizations, you know, whether it's consulting firms or system integration firms or professional services groups from the vendors themselves, mm-hmm. is understanding how to leverage those without just dumping tons and tons of money into it, because that model just doesn't work anymore. You know, the big consulting firms come in and say, well, we're going to hang out with you for 2 years and it's going to cost you $1 million. Nobody has the budgets for that kind of thing anymore, which is probably all for the better. So there are a lot of opportunities for people that have some experience, like yourself, managing content operations, if you want to call it that, or digital media services organizations, to go out and help other firms if that's what they're looking to do.
Well, thanks, Joel. For more on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo, iTunes, and Tech Podcast Network. Thanks again.